Friends in Christ, the law is good. We just sang about that. The law is good and true and faithful. But when we say that phrase, it kind of seems a little bit weird. That kind of has a weird roll off your tongue. The law is good. Now, sometimes we don't think that, right? When we're driving along the interstate I-94 and we're just anxious because there's cars everywhere, there's people from Illinois coming into vacation and it's packed, and then we're late for our job, so we decide that that little sign that says 70 miles an hour, it's a guideline, so we're going to go 75. Then we're maybe really just loving the radio station. There's a great song on, and then all of a sudden the cruise control is off. We're actually getting closer to 80, maybe 81. And you're driving along, you're almost on your way, and then you see that little sign in the back of your mirror. The little cherries and berries flickering, the red and blue lights, and then the siren comes on. Whoops! Whoops-a-daisy, I got a little too fast, and then I got pulled over. This might have happened to you. So why do we say the law is good when it convicts us? It makes us feel not so good because, whoops, I'm not so great after all. Or maybe it was a more serious offense. But we say today the law is good. That's especially important to remember because we turn on the TV and all of a sudden we got people saying that the police are at fault. Right? We got people protesting against the police now. Or maybe even others. So why would we call the law good? Well, it's not so long ago that we remember the work that the law did and continues to do for us. Who are those people that come when you're all locked out of your car and you forgot your keys inside and you don't have a spare? A friendly police officer might help open your door. What happens when we hear a little rumble after a deer comes in front of our car and we need somebody to help us out? The police are there. What happened on September 11th in 2001? The police and firefighters were there. But that's not just in our world that we can say the law is good. But that's what God says. That's what St. Paul says and what we're focusing on today in Scripture. The law is good. But we have to think of it in a new perspective. Why would the law be good? So new members actually have access. I'm going to read a little bit out of this handy-dandy little workbook. This is Luther's Small Catechism. It's a book that helps explain Scripture really easily. This was written in 1529, a whole long time ago, by Martin Luther to teach his four-year-old son, Hans, the basics of Christian faith. Because he was so fed up when he went to different churches, even the priests didn't even know how to pray the Lord's Prayer. So he's going to teach his son to do better. Well, in this book, it explains why the law is so good. And I want to read you three different ways. So if you want to turn new members, you don't have to, but this is on page 54. How does God use the law in our lives and the lives of others in this world? God uses his commandments, aka the law, in three ways. We call these the three uses of the law. First, for the good of his creation, God uses the law to limit or prevent coarse outbursts of sin, thereby helping to keep order in the world. We call this the curb, right? You might go on the side of the street, there's a curb. What does the curb do? It helps keep the water when it rains off of the road so you don't go sliding all over the place. It helps protect the people that are on the sidewalk. And so, God's law is good because it protects us. It curbs us from those little inclinations of our heart that want to go 80 miles an hour. We know better. There's a sign. But the law is good also because, number two, and this is the most important, folks, God uses the law to reveal and condemn our sin. We call this a mirror. The law shows us our sin and shows us our need for a Savior. That's why it's so important. We'll get to that in a moment. But third, we'll get to this as well today. The law of God is good because God uses the law to guide and direct our thoughts, words, and our actions as Christians in God-pleasing ways. And we call this a guide. So when you can think about it, when you're trudging along the highway, you got the curb on the side of the road. You got those lines that help make sure they're not steering off in another person's lane. Those are guides, right? Especially when it's snowy out, you got at least a colored line to know that you're on the road. But then God's law is a mirror like this, most of all because it helps us show our sin. Like we look in our rearview mirror, it shows us what's behind us. And in those three ways, it helps us understand what St. Paul is actually talking about today in his scripture lesson from Romans. He tells us that we are released from the law. Not that we don't keep keeping it, but we're released from the power that the law has. That when it shows our sin, we are released, that we don't see our ugliness, we don't see our sin, but we see our Savior. So that's why he says we're bound to Christ instead of bound to the law. And he does this in a really helpful analogy. So what example does Paul give us to explain how the law is influencing our lives? It's really important because what month is it? It's June still. June is what we call the wedding month for a lot of people, right? It's like the one month in Wisconsin, especially, where it feels kind of like summer, where it's not so rainy, it's not so hot. The wedding Saturday in June. St. Paul uses marriage as an example of talking about why the law is important. So think about it. Have you ever been to a wedding? When the couple getting married says their wedding vows or their wedding promises to one another, that promise to love, cherish, protect, respect until that famous quote, until death do us part. Now, we don't, as newlyweds or new lovers, think about that phrase because we got a whole life to live. But maybe on your 50th golden wedding anniversary, that phrase kind of becomes more realistic. We're going to be with one another until death do us part. The husband and wife are supposed to keep these promises to one another and make them with nobody else. That's the oath and promise. And these promises are for one another and they're meant for life. However, we live in a sinful and broken world, and things happen that are bad. If one of them dies, then the promises are able to be made to somebody else. And it may be even true for you. Somebody might have been remarried. When that oath is faithfully broken, you are able to be remarried. So Paul uses this example to try to show us here that we died to sin. And since we died to sin, we are able to be joined to another. We are bound to the law until we die, but in Christ, we learn what happens. When we die in Christ, the law doesn't matter in order to condemn us to death. The law still matters in maybe those other two, like a curb. The law still wants to keep us in check on the road. We still want to be guided in life by God's law, but that mirror all of a sudden doesn't look so bad when we look into it. When we die to Christ, we know that we are now free and joined together in a holy marriage to God. And in that kind of symbolic way, in the way of thinking of it, that's why God calls the church, the whole Christian church throughout the world, the bride of Christ. You are what God sees on that wedding day, a bride so beautiful and perfect and covered in white, just shimmering, gleaming. And God makes that happen because of his son, Jesus Christ, that you and your former past have been dead to sin, but you are made alive in Jesus. Now, that's a great thing, right? We're enjoying that honeymoon period of our lives. We know Easter happened. We know we're beautiful in Christ. We are the bride of Christ. But what happens after people get married? What usually happens maybe down the road? We have a couple of them around here. Sometimes their goal is to have babies. That's another joy. Sometimes it doesn't always happen that way, but that's the goal for a lot of people, to start a family. So again, Paul reminds us, since we have been dead to sin and joined to Christ, we therefore are called to bear fruit, to be fruitful. And that's what makes the law so good. How do we know if we belong to God? How do we know if we're the bride of Christ? It's when we bear fruit. Now, what does that mean? How are we going to bear fruit? It's not just about having children or not having children. We bear fruit by being a family outside of your family, a family here at Bethlehem. You bear fruit by those other two things, how God guides you in life. You bear fruit by taking care of one another, by speaking kindly of one another, by showing peace and forgiveness, by your actions. And that's why the law is still good. The law directs us to care for others. Since we have been so freely set apart by the gospel. So that's why, take notice, every time you hear a word from this pulpit or even in a different church, those are the two great teachings, law and gospel. You should hear them every single Sunday. You can see them in every single service. And they're always at play in your life every single day. God demands that we act like his people. And so we should do what's right for us by following his law. And when we look in the mirror, we can see how we are truly and beautifully saved by his gospel message. When we were bound to the law, we served an old letter. No matter how hard we tried to keep the law, we can't. Now in Jesus, we are dead to the law. And thanks be to God, because we are released to be bound to Christ and do something that matters for one another. So that's a new perspective on the law today. That you and I are directed by someone that cares. Just like the people in our world aren't out to just bash us with laws that we can't keep, they're also there for our protection. They're also there because they're there to serve and protect and to be faithful because they love other people. And that's how we can show the same love that we were given, by doing the same. So think about that today when we think about those laws in our life and maybe when you're trudging along the highway. But make sure not to daydream too much because there are laws still at place. So don't go too fast. But remember, the law is good, and God is good all the time. So may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.